Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. Welcome to our guest segment. Thank you so much for being with us, staying with us through the intro. We have a terrific guest for you this hour. We had on Christine Smith some time back, and she was a big hit, and we've waited too long to have her back, and we're going to correct that because I think she needs to be heard from more often because she's covering a part of the current crises that we're involved in ways that people are ignoring. They're just dealing with the here and now physical, and we're going to get into the spiritual realm, and just everything I've read about Christine, all our conversations tells me that this is something that we need to hear, and if God ever speaks that message to your heart, it's happened here. But before we join Christine very quickly, we need to pay a couple bills, and as you know, we're all about preparation right now, so we're saying, hey, please take care of your storable food needs. We have 40% off the four-week package. People are buying multiple package, restaurant quality, 25-year shelf life. Go to preparewithdave.com. Take advantage of the sale. People are buying multiple sets. And if you have food, you have to have water. And we've got research on the efficacy of the water system that we're selling, the Alexapure Pro Water Filter, 40% off right now. Limited time this month, as long as supplies last. And this is the best in the business. You'll see the research at waterwithdave.com. So you got preparewithdave.com for the food, waterwithdave.com for the water. Now we're commercial free for the rest of the show, but when we have our TV show, it's going to be completely commercial free. More on that later at thecommonsenseshowtv.com. So let's go to Christine Smith, and let me just mention that she's a Christian, like myself, and she's a constitutionalist, like myself. This is why I'm so excited to have her on. Her articles have been published in hundreds of publications, and she's appeared on numerous talk shows sharing her opinions on domestic and foreign policy. And we both of us have grave concerns. She has a great website, and we'll give this out often, and also ways that you can follow her terrific work as we go through this. And her website is godchangeseverything.com. How appropriate is that? Anyway, join me in welcoming Christine Smith to the Common Sense Show. Christine, it's been too long, and I so admire what you do. Thank you for taking the time to come on, because you know we're under fire here. Technically, we've had some snafus, and I appreciate your patience and wanting to get the message out. You're truly a blessing, so welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here with you and your listeners again.
Yeah, terrific. Well, in my semi-long life, I have never seen times the way they are right now. And I'm sure you, in your shorter life, I'm sure you would agree with that. We're going through unprecedented challenges now.
We most certainly are. I'm 54 years of age, and never in my life, despite my study of history, despite my recognizing what was insidiously invading our country and the educational systems. And I'm talking not only K-12, but certainly the universities, but it begins at an early age. Despite my seeing that and knowing what the Marxist agenda was for the United States, I never thought that I would see in my lifetime what I am witnessing now. This is certainly unprecedented. And it relates, and I think too many people, including Christians like ourselves, are deficient in their understanding and their recognition of what is actually going on. They believe it to be differences of ideology. They believe that these protesters and rioters, have something legitimate to say. And on the contrary, I look at it spiritually, which is the way every Christian should. This is a spiritual battle, Dave, between good and evil in the world. And all of these miniature battles are part of the ultimate war, and we are all playing a part, whether you recognize it or not.
It's, you're so right about that, and people ignore the spiritual, as you said. But we're living in a time that the Lord promised in Scripture that in, as we approach the end times, and I think we're there, all things will be revealed. Do you think this is why it's so easy to see the flawed nature of many of our leaders and their corruption?
Well, yes, I think that is one aspect of it. I think that more so than ever before, you are correct, people are identifying it, and yet I still see that reluctance to call evil evil. In the Bible, in Ephesians, we are told, and I paraphrase, you know, we are not, you know, battling against flesh and blood. It's not just those thugs you see. It's not just those spoiled brats. It's not just Democrat leaders who have a different approach to anything. But as Ephesians tell us, we are battling against powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. There's an invisible world, and it operates through us as human beings. And that's what's going on right now. And those thugs, those spoiled brats, those Democrat leaders, fall into different categories, but they are all working on the agenda, a satanic plan. They are soldiers for evil. They have no legitimacy whatsoever. And when I take a look at these young people out there, they basically amount to nothing. They have nothing in their minds, nothing in their hearts, and they are a result of both the educational system, their sorry parents, and they are so easily led astray. They were not brought up with righteousness. But then you look at the Democrat leaders, and I call them human demons, because they have, in the Bible, Dave, we all sin, but there is a category called iniquity, and that is a conscious decision to go against God. The evil we're seeing, the lawlessness, this is an intentional destruction of America. And I see that wicked character that I see in all the Democrat leaders, they are part of that Marxist agenda, and they are using these youthful minions to do Satan's work. And if you don't see it that way, you think you can negotiate and discuss with them. But the Bible tells us there can be no dialogue, no communion between good and evil. And I think people need to start seeing it that way rather than falling for Satan's lie. He is the great deceiver, the liar, the adversary. And he would want you to think you're just dealing with human beings like yourself who see things in a different manner. And if you do that, you're going to fail in this battle, and you are part of the problem and the destruction of America unless you view it correctly.
Wow, you just said so much we could go in so many different directions with. I have put out information to some of the leaders in Black Lives Matters and Antifa, and I have said, I share your desire for racial equality, that policemen need to be better trained in some areas, although I think the majority of them do a good job and they're honest people. But I said, I will not support any organization that firebombs innocent people, rapes, mutilates, murders. I will not be a party to that. And I'm going to say you're illegitimate because you won't disavow what your followers are doing. And there's another aspect I'd respond to with what you just said. Sometime back, and I don't remember the exact year, and you might know this, but the Democratic Party took God out of their platform. Mm-hmm. And when they did that, that's when they had allegiance declared for Satan.
Well, yes, I would agree with that. I remember what you are referring to. But God has not been a part of their platform for many years. They just now felt comfortable socially. And I'd like to talk about that. Why would they feel comfortable socially to do that? And I would tell you that balance falls upon Christians and their failure in this country, the failure of the churches, because they can feel very comfortable. Why? Because these weaklings who call themselves Christians, and they may be, but they're not doing God's work. They're not Christ-centered because social approval, being tolerant. We don't want to discriminate now, do we? We have to be tolerant of every perversion and every evil that they come up with. I don't don't want to not be accepted by my community, and my, and the churches themselves are spewing this satanic lies and deception, and many Christians who are ignorant, some are simple-minded, some are, I will say, distracted by their lives, and yet the spiritual aspect is the most important they should focus on. So the Democrats are leading that way. In fact, frankly, I feel that the Democrats are the enemies of America. They are wicked. There is no more a Democrat Party like I grew up with and you grew up with. This is not political and ideological differences. This is a spiritual difference, and they have chosen evil. The fact that they are responsible for the murders of millions of babies through abortion. The fact that they are responsible for a platform now they can just openly, as you just said, declare themselves against God, declare themselves against freedom and liberty, go for heavy taxation, opposing private property, wanting to destroy everything the founding principles, which are biblical principles that this country was based upon. They feel comfortable doing it, and that's because Christians in this country have fundamentally failed.
I wish you were one of the mega pastor church pastors. This has been my big argument. I've often used the analogy that when Jesus went into the temple, he was a man. He was a man's man, and he took on evil and did what needed to be done. And our pastors should have been at the gates of their churches, inviting people in and basically forming a human cordon to not let the police in and be willing to go to jail. And if we had all would have done this, what would they have done? Built a fence around the city and say, hey, this is prison? I mean, the pastors lack fundamental courage. They're supposed to want to be like Jesus, teach us to be like Jesus, and they're nothing like Jesus. They're a bunch of wimps.
You got that right. Very well said, Dave. There's no question of that. And what they are teaching from the pulpit, so many of them in this country, is the antithesis of Christianity. And Jesus, as you just said, when he went to the temple, he showed that passion. He showed that righteous indignation. And I would remind those Christians who are misguided and want to view Jesus as a pacifist, that he was no pacifist in his words against the scribes and the Pharisees. He was no pacifist in the temple against the money changers. He calls upon us. He called for the use of the sword that you bring with you for your protection. If you don't have a sword, he told us, sell your cloak and purchase one. He told us he did not come to bring peace. He came to bring that division. There's going to be within the family, child against parent, sibling against sibling, spouse against spouse. There is no way you can avoid it if you're following Jesus Christ instead of accepting the world's view of their, quote, God, end quote.
It's interesting because out here where I live in rural Arizona, we made friends, with a couple who's from the Northwest, from a beleaguered city. In fact, I'll just say they're from Seattle, but I'm not going to identify the family, obviously. And, the gentleman and his wife are relatively conservative. You can tell by our discussions. And he said, when they heard their children visit from the Northwest, he said, I can barely talk to them. That's a quote. And I said, because of the schools? He goes, oh yeah. And the discussion centered on when you send your kid to a school, a four-year institution, state-run, particularly in some areas, you're going to get back something that you don't recognize. Have you seen that too?
Oh, absolutely. And this began decades ago. It was the Marxist agenda, and they came to America, and you can read their writings, and very much said how we can destroy America, and it is going to be in the universities, it's going to be from the pulpits, it's going to have that social agenda, it is going to use sexuality and all of the perversions thereof. All we have to do is take all of these fundamental parts and make it, quote, normal. And, it reminds me of a quote from Isaiah, where it's, talked about those who will call evil good. They will call darkness light. And that is what has happened in the universities of this country, and it's accepted. And, the children have not grown up necessarily with a very strong background, in Christianity and with the Word of God and prayer. and thus their minds and their hearts are open because they haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. You might be a good parent, but if you fail to really instill that in them, they're going to be susceptible. And now you see we have about two generations of the spoiled brats are coming out of the universities and the thugs. You see what is going on, but it is a reflection, sadly, upon the parents. And of course, your adult child has his own free will, but the Bible does say, in general, you train up a child in the way that he would go, and he's not going to depart from it. So, sadly, people may have been weak, weak Christians, weak as parents, thinking they fell for the idea of tolerance. And tolerance, the misuse of that word, and Christians acquiesce to it. We have to be tolerant. Oh, I love them. I reject their sin, but I love them. But their, quote, love of them, which of course we love the Spirit there. We hope for them to come to God. But that does not mean you accept them and you tolerate it and you put your picture up on Facebook by putting all your little homosexual colors around it when you're a heterosexual. I am telling you, so many who rationalize that kind of behavior consider themselves Christians, but they are also doing the work of Satan unknowingly, and they have allowed what you see, and they have allowed their young people to be indoctrinated when they go to college. They have allowed such professors to be there. Where is the outcry? Well, I can tell you this. Leftists know how. They are excellent at organizing. They are excellent at doing anything they wish to accomplish. Well, Christians should unite. Don't try to unify with the evil. You unify with other Christians to stand up for righteousness in this country. Because if you don't do it now, what you see now is a result of what you didn't do before. And we must unite as Christians, not with the evildoers.
I totally agree. And you said they're excellent at organizing, and along with that is they're excellent at their propaganda. So I wanted to take this discussion at least a little bit, take a side detour, and talk to you about what we're being told about the coronavirus, the lockdown stuff that's going on, and just get your reaction to that, and then let's take it back to the spiritual realm in our analysis.
Certainly.
So what about the coronavirus? What about the lockdowns? What would you have to say about that, and what do you think Christians should come to know about this, not just in a newsprint article, but spiritually, what's happening here?
Well, actually, I wrote an essay. It was published in a couple of places about Christians and how they should regard the China virus, the Chinese coronavirus. And number one, I would like to say to Christians, the Bible tells us to be wise as serpents. And I would focus upon wisdom. I do not focus upon listening to the, quote, authorities, end quote. I'm not focusing upon listening to the World Health Organization. You don't go and focus as if the fundamental thing you've got to do is listen to a task force. What you need to do is get on your knees and pray to God for his guidance and to be wise. Jesus repeatedly taught us to fear not. Do not be afraid. But it also teaches us to be wise. You don't proceed as if there's not a threat, and I mean any threat in life when there is one, but neither do you cower in fear. In regards to myself, you're asking my opinion of everything that's going on. Yes, it has been highly politicized, sadly, by the leftist in this country. And yes, I think that people are not, I think, sometimes grasp part of the truth about where they feel that they are being affronted and their rights, but they don't look at it as a whole. I say, and this is what I do personally, I focus on what do I think is wise for myself. So I disregarded all of the advice, which was quite contradictory, as you might remember, March, April, May. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Stay this far apart. Stay that far apart. I heard it. But what I did was I did my own research. I did my own thinking about any type of contagion. And I, without regard to whether they said to wear a mask, don't wear a mask, I've just personally chosen when I am in public, for my own protection, and that's, again, debatable. Some people want to say there's no protection, but I personally feel better with the filters I've made. Wearing the mask that I do gives me that much protection because I don't want to contract it. But in terms of what I see that they're using it for and the lockdowns and the controversies over, oh, well, you can go out and protest, but you can't go to church, that's the politicizing. And as Christians, we have to see that they will use any actual problem or crisis for their purpose, and that's what's going on there. As for me, I just focus on my own life. I do what I think is wise for me, and other people may choose differently. And I kind of disregard all of that out there and just focus on what I think is well for me.
Well, you really dissected that very, very well. So you're saying we should preserve our individual liberty. If I want to wear a mask, that's fine. You're certainly not hurting anybody else by wearing a mask, certainly, so that's not offensive or shouldn't be to anybody. Yet what I put down on my writings, and I've said, well, I don't have a problem with people wearing masks, and I've said that, but I've also said there's contradictory research out there. Are you
right.
Protected? Well, the studies I read, I'd say a combination of them kind of suggest about it's two-thirds effective. Well, that's better than no percent effective. And so some people say because it's only two-thirds, we shouldn't wear it. And I reject that argument. It's up to the person. But also, too, there are people who should not wear masks. And that's really clear. And I mean, talking about severe asthmatics, people who have diabetes or congestive heart failure, or they're on chemo, they should not be for various reasons. And yet the tyranny of shop owners has been horrendous with people not wearing a mask. And they say, well, I have a medical exemption, and they still kick them out of their store.
Oh, well, I would say that that is the prerogative. I'm not speaking of government and mandates and what they do legally. I'm speaking of private property and private enterprise.
Of course.
And it is my belief that a private store owner should be able to determine whether you can walk in his store without pants on or without a mask on. There's no difference. And if he wants to say, your choice, then I, as a customer, can decide whether I shop there or not. If he wants to say no one enters the store without a mask, I think that, as a private property owner, should be protected by the law and that the police should back him up. And so I look at the free market, which almost always has the answer, versus government.
Okay. I'm going to give this to you, and it's a little different bent. It's not the same thing. But I know of a couple in Montana, where we used to think of this as the bastion of freedom. They moved from Illinois because they were tired of the tyranny and the danger posed by the gangs. And so they went to their mailbox of their apartment without a mask, and they got an eviction notice the next day. I mean, to me, we're seeing some really totalitarian examples of enforcement on this. And in Broward County, you have to wear a mask inside your home. And they're paying people to turn people in. See, that to me is the...
say that again?
In Broward County, Florida, they issued an emergency proclamation about 10 days ago. And the health official there that controls things, she basically said you have to wear a mask inside and out when you're in your home, and they have a snitch program, a paid snitch program.
I had not heard anything about that, but as you described, that... That certainly sounds terrible. Like I said, it's been politicized. But for me, as an individual, I just focus upon my life, and I do what's wise for myself and my family. And, you know, and people have to decide for themselves out there who they're going to listen to, what research they're going to listen to, and also in regards to the legal aspects and mandates. That's up to the individual.
Well, you're consistent in your views. God gives us free will. And you're granting, from your perspective, everyone else should have free will, too.
Yeah, and, we have it. No matter what someone says, we definitely have it.
Well, the Democrats don't think we do. And let me ask you this. Let's project ahead based on what you've seen from a Christian spiritual perspective. What if the Democrats are successful in taking over our government? And I call them the Bolshevik Party now for obvious reasons. So if the Bolsheviks take over, what can we expect to see happen?
The United States of America as we have known it, as I have known it, will be destroyed. It will be gone. It will be an empty shell of the country that was founded and that people died for. There will be no more free speech. There will be no more freedom of assembly. What you're seeing now, some of the examples you also just gave during this crisis, I think will become manifest nationwide. To me, they are the workers of iniquity. They are the human demons, and I trust nothing that they say. Perhaps some have deluded themselves who still support Democrats, but I would say that they are masquerading as if they're in the light. They manipulate the simple-minded. They manipulate really the stupid people out there, which there must be many in this country for Democrats to even have support. And then they also are very much supported by those who have purposely and consciously chosen evil. And I think that the country will be gone. Frankly, I believe that Donald Trump listened to God's calling. He was called and he followed and he ran and became our president. And I think had it not been for Donald Trump, the country itself would be very near that brink already. But now I think it is paramount. Unless Trump is elected, the United States of America is gone.
Well, I would agree. Trump was a reprieve from God for us to turn our evil ways around. I totally agree with that. I've often said Obama was the setup guy when he came up with Executive Order 13603, the NDAA, and all the other totalitarian rulings he came up with. They were designed for Hillary Clinton's implementation, yet mm-hmm. she wasn't able to become president, and I think it was a miracle of God. But I'm wondering, I've often said I think we're a nation under judgment. Do you think we're still under judgment?
I do. I do. I think that too many Americans, even those who consider themselves good people and they're not radical liberals, I think that their weakness, their apathy, their acquiescence to sin in this country has brought that judgment upon the country. I think we're seeing some of that now, even with the Chinese virus. We certainly were not immune to that or protected. I think it's a big mystery how God works in our lives. I think every Christian knows that. But I think that we are, when Jesus was speaking in, Matthew 23, I believe that's when he was talking about describing the scribes and Pharisees. And, he said, you have a generation, of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? But that's not just talking about the afterlife. That's talking about you right now, where you are living. And I think that we are seeing that now, and it's sad, and I think there's going to be more suffering coming, but I think it is because we did not stand strong in this country as Christians. We tolerated too much evil. We made political correctness our God instead of the one and true God and Jesus Christ. And so, yes, I think that there is more suffering to come.
I think in all of these communist-style purges, whether you talk about Idi Amin, Pol Pot, Hitler, Stalin, Mao, it's always the same scenario, and we're seeing it unfold right now. And when they take over, invariably there's always a purge where multiple amounts of people who are perceived to be political dissidents are taken to camps mm-hmm. and killed. Do you mm-hmm. see that in our future?
Well, I am going to say anything is possible if you let the demons take over this country.
The Democrats, correct?
Yes, the human demons, instead of the Democrat Party, they are the demonic party, as far as I'm concerned. And what do Democrats represent? Death. Death to the family, death to mother and father raising children, death to the church, completely anti-God, death to our children, to the babies in the womb, death to our economy, which is what they're using and, exploiting the China virus. They bring death Look at what they're doing, this destruction, in our cities right now. Look at what's going on in Portland. Look at what's going on in Chicago. This is because everywhere Democrats rule, they bring death to society. They bring death to peace. They bring chaos and violence and destruction. And what they ultimately want to do is bring death to the United States, and they do that by bringing death to the souls of everyone who listens to their deceptions. So absolutely, there is no line drawn. Frankly, I'll give you an example. The other day, I was watching this, I don't know what you want to call it, this charade of their interrogation is more like the word, the hearing with Attorney General Barr. And I also reminisced, it brought memories of how they treated Justice Kavanaugh. These type of justice hearings remind me so much of what was called the People's Court in Nazi Germany, where they would have the judge up there slamming down, and saying that's enough, essentially taking back my time and never letting them speak, bringing the accusations and then sentencing them to death. And I have to tell you, the way the Democrats behaved against Barr and against Kavanaugh, all of these are reminiscent of the Nazis and their, quote, People's Court. Again, giving a very nice name, nice sounding name, as if they care about justice. The Democrats are one and the same with any evil tyrant that has ruled this world before, and we cannot root other nations. We cannot allow the takeover. 50% of Americans, there's something wrong. 50% of Americans can support these people. If you're a Democrat out there and you're a Democrat from, 20 years ago, listen, the party of JFK is gone and unrecognizable. He would hit by everything he stood for. He is like a Republican today. And I am not a partisan individual. I never have been in my life. I'm for what is right. And right now, under Donald Trump's leadership, the Republicans are right. And if you care about our country, if you care about your children and your grandchildren, you're going to support Trump. And you are also, as a Christian, going to start taking a stand, to use your word, Dave, and not be a wimpy Christian. You're going to start opposing and rejecting people from your life and organizations that you support, because you should make the word of God by which you measure everything you support or not support. And you should do that through your actions as well as your words. You're putting things up on your Facebook that are all loving and God and all of this. Yeah, that's real simple. Are you living it? And do you have courage? Because you're supposed to put on the armor of God. And right now, more than any time in our nation, you better have the armor of God. And when you wake up in the morning, you better ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, so that you will have the courage to do what is right, to be wise, and to proceed to save this country. Because right now we are more threatened than we ever have been, than any of the wars before, than anything in our past. This is the greatest threat to our freedom, is the Democrats.
Does the Bible speak to the type of persecution that we're going to face if the Democrats take over? Do you see a message there?
Completely. The Bible, both the Old Testament, the New Testament, and think about Revelation, completely tells us what we are to expect. And as I made reference to before, Jesus did not come to bring peace. He came to bring that division and that sword. And that means that you have to separate yourselves from them, and it means persecution. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, how much more are they going to persecute you? Look at Trump as an example. Look at the persecution we have never seen of a U.S. sitting president as we have seen of him. That is because those who have chosen evil have never felt more threatened, and they are trying to gain that power for exactly what you just now asked me about, Dave. Because if they gain that power, gone is the freedom for Christians to live in peace. And I do not put anything past the degree of persecution and evil they will exact upon Christians in this country.
Will it cause Christians, in your opinion, to come out and be more forceful and suffer the consequences, or will they cower in the corner?
Well, my message is that we don't cower, But my message is also that you be wise. I would say that if a Christian were walking down the street in Nazi Germany and some person went by and said, "Heil Hitler!" I don't think that you need to turn around and mouth them off and give them any indication differently. But I would say that you would wisely be working for the good and never join with the evil. So I think we do need to have that courage. We cannot stand by and let this happen. I think it will mean suffering and persecution. And that's why I'm calling on Christians now to prevent that from happening. People are people, Dave. And some are going to be weak even though they believe. And some are going to stand up no matter what, even, you know, just like a soldier who would die in battle for his country. Christians have for centuries died for God. And I think we're going to see a combination thereof depending upon the individual. And I'm not even saying what is right. Every individual needs to decide. But you better pray to God and ask for the guidance.
Yeah, people will have the decision to make. Are you going to be Peter or are you going to be Paul? Are you going to deny Jesus three times, or will you allow yourself to be hung upside down? I mean, it just, that's ultimately what it comes down to. But the thing is when you wake up in paradise.
And, but remember, Paul chose again. So we can always choose again, regardless of the decisions we made before. And I would emphasize that to your listeners. No matter what you've chosen before. Look, I've met many Christians, and they're living what they think are good lives, and essentially, you know, they just look at it that way, but they're not deep, and they have allowed messages like the ones we see by these, quote, protesters. And by the way, I would like to add this to our audience. It's my personal opinion. I don't look at these as protesters. I don't look at these as rioters. I don't look at these as people who care about black lives or you had mentioned earlier. Of course, we're all opposed to the evil that anyone in authority, such as a police officer, would exact upon any individual. But that's not what it is about. And if you as a Christian are aligning yourself with that and saying, "I support this, but I don't support this," you don't need to defend the truth. You stand for the truth. You don't need to give any degree of validity to them because they are simply using, manipulatively exploiting something they think you will agree with in order to act like they are legitimate. I'm asking Christians to be stronger, and you reject it all. What does a Christian do? We love all. We believe in life. Those people out there protesting, rioters, domestic terrorists, essentially, they don't believe in any of those things. And the Bible is very strong. There is no partnership with light and darkness. So don't give them even lip service. Secondly of all, I'd like to make a point to this audience. For lawmakers out there, and I'm certainly not speaking to Democrats because they don't care about the law. There was a time when it was illegal to break the law. Doesn't look that way now. But I don't even believe when people say the First Amendment, our right to protest. Your right to protest ends when it's a public street, in my opinion, and a public, in a neighborhood, a private neighborhood, or a sidewalk. To me, just like if we wanted to have a parade, Dave, you and I, patriots, we love America. We would have to get a permit before we can block any street in our cities. Well, I believe that protesters, quote, peaceful protesters, should have permits before they're allowed on streets. And I think across the country there's laws there. They're just simply not enforcing them. So I'd like to clarify for the people's perception as if I support the First Amendment. I've heard even from my friends, so I agree with peaceful protest. No, I agree with peaceful protest on private property that they can rent or they own, or on public property for which they have achieved a permit in a park or whatever they might be doing. The idea of protest in the streets, I completely reject.
Well, and I reject the idea that they're protesters when they throw fire bombs through people's businesses that have done nothing wrong.
Well, I agree with you, of course. But what I'm saying to you is, even those who are simply getting out there, which is more of a social activity, you think those people have much in their minds? You can see by their interviews. What are you out here protesting? this. Anyone who has something to say, I'm out here. It's like these nebulous answers. That's because they're a result of our public, our government schools. So I don't think they have anything. They stand for nothing as far as I'm concerned at this time.
Yeah, they're not standing for George Floyd. That ship sailed a long
time ago.
That's
for sure.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Yeah, that's water under the bridge, and I reject that wholeheartedly. I think there were groups that came out that were legitimate in their outrage. I was outraged.
Of course.
I spoke out against what happened.
How could you not? You watch that film, it's repulsive. It's sickening. But we have now, and very good in our society, we have cameras. And that has brought more justice than we've ever had before. And we have means to deal with it. And it does not mean resulting in violence. They're just taking any reason, anything that happens. Although I see they conveniently ignore black lives of police officers who are killed.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, and they'll throw rocks and bricks at black police officers as if they have no rights.
Yeah, it is really sad. And I express my gratitude and appreciation to everyone in law enforcement. And I just have to say I don't even understand how some of you are even staying. I know you have to think about your families. But when I see the leaders of your cities and states allowing the abuse and using your bodies as shields against these people, it is disgusting. And, you know, I call on Christians. That's what I'm saying. You know, you need to take a look at these people like you and I are discussing, the legitimate groups, the illegitimate groups. But I say there's a greater legitimacy to measure anyone. It's not whether I reject this, you know, this wrongdoing, this evil over here. Does that make me a good person? Does that mean me as a Christian should join with that person? No, it really actually doesn't. You should only join with those who are Christians. Jesus said in Luke 11, he who is not with me is against me. And we as Christians aren't supposed to join with them just because they have that good cause. You should always represent yourself as a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, when you combine it with something that you righteously, indignant, you know, reject in our society. You better make that connection, because I don't hear too many doing that who speak against those atrocities.
Why do you think that the Republicans as a whole in Congress have acquiesced to the Democrats?
Well, the Republicans are wimps and weaklings. I wrote an essay, it's on my website, when people visit, that our nation needs Republicans with balls. And we haven't had that for many years. We have very few real men that are represented. Trump is one of the few men in our country. And I know that there are others, most of them in private enterprise and businessmen. But I would have to say that they've been weak. Even when some of them, and I won't name names, we've seen them occasionally show a little bit of light and strength. And we're praising them. Why? Because we're shocked. They had one time in their life when they were able to show a little bit of righteous indignation and strength. I think most of them are weaklings. They can't help it. They get to be 50, 60, 70. They've never stood for much of anything. They don't, unlike Trump, who has courage, who has strength. When he sees something wrong, he wants to make it right, which is what all of us should do. He does it. All his life, I've read all of his books. I read them when I was very young, and it deeply influenced me to always do what I think is right, and to call evil, evil, and not to care what people think. I interviewed Gore Vidal years ago. He was really my mentor as a writer. I learned so much from his books on American history, really our historian of our country. And I remember one of the interviews, you know, someone else had with him, where he talked about, I don't care what people think. And that made an impression on me, Dave. I never care what people think of me. But those Republicans up in that are, you know, representatives, they care what people think. They care about, is this going to get support from my constituents? Is this going to be politically correct? And even though they got the right principles inside, They care so much about what people think, just like the accusation shown at Trump. He doesn't act presidential. Well, thank God, literally, we got a man who doesn't act presidential. You know what we got? We got a man who stands for what is righteous and is trying to do, endeavoring to do what is right. Those other Republicans, they don't, just like so many listening to me right now. But I'm hoping that I cause that spark in them to get a little bit stronger, that maybe you can have that courage. Maybe you should stop thinking about what your neighbors think in your church. Maybe you better change your church if it's not preaching the Word of God and preaching it in the principles instead of just saying, everybody's okay, we all get along, don't say a word against everyone. Well, Jesus was not that way. We should pattern ourselves after Jesus, and he was a very strong fighter for what is right. And again, those Republicans, they can't help it now. They've lived a lifetime of being weaklings. Maybe some people listening to me will not and will start choosing righteousness as the guide for their life.
That's really well said. I want to ask you a question, and it's more of a devil's advocate question, but I'm also wondering, too, about some of Trump's lack of follow-through. Let me give you one example.
Sure.
He does an executive order based on open forum law, section 230, which says that if you're the social media platforms, you're not held responsible if someone puts a pedophilia post on your site and you didn't quite catch it in time to stop it, as long as you act reasonably and take it down. But that also means that you're not a publisher, so therefore you can't censor legitimate political opinion. That's the law. Trump did an executive order that basically reaffirmed that procedure from the FCC, and he's issued a directive, and yet we see the frontline doctors, the lab coat patrol, as they're called, they've lost jobs, they've had their social media wiped out, they've had their websites taken down, and my question is, why isn't Trump launching, in your opinion, the DOJ to do justice to these social media leaders?
Okay. Well, this is only going to be speculation on my part.
Yes, just your opinion. That's all I'm asking.
You know, I'm not his advisor, but I think I would be an excellent one. And from some of the mistakes, I think things that he says and then he retracts and says again, I sometimes think some of the advisors around him are conventional and average, and weaklings, and they give him advice. If I were his advisor on such a thing like that, which I am not, I would be wondering that same question, and I would be asking him. My speculation on it, Dave, is timing. I'm sure that our president, with the mind that he has and the timing of everything that's going on in this country right now, may be in discussion with, you know, the legal counsel, with the attorney general himself. I don't think it's something, Dave, and I would just say, my opinion, to reassure you, that is being forgotten. I completely support that executive that order. I think it's about time that something be done about this. But again, I do believe that it is probably timing and that the executive order lays the way for what is to come. And that's my opinion.
Yeah, but he's got 90 days until the election and less time to yield influence, because these people were worried about the Russian collusion delusion in our last election. And this is anything worse than what was ever alleged about the Russian interference.
That's exactly right. But I think that there's a whole lot more going on behind the scenes that you and I are not privy to. And I will say this, for the first time in my life, and I'm 54, I would say that I trust the president. Now, I don't trust all the advisors and people giving him advice. I see value in getting multiple opinions. But I do trust him in his ultimate decision and timing, and I don't think he forgets about a thing. Which brings up another matter. You raised a good question there. I would raise the question, which again, I have no knowledge of why. Why has there not been any repercussions in regards to the Chinese virus? Perhaps that is yet to come, too. So there's all kinds of areas that we don't know as citizens, that we see, that we feel demands justice. But I do believe he's a man who believes in justice. There's no doubt about that. So I say, let's wait and see what happens.
Very well said. Excellent. Excellent approach to this. I want to spend a little time talking about you. We've got, I'm doing the math in my head here, about 3.5 minutes. And first of all, just a personal question. You're so convicted and so consistent. I'm wondering, what is your background? I mean, briefly, you know, how did you come to this, and what have you done before that really got you to be ready? And kind of keep that answer to a minute, because I want to promote your website too.
Well, thank you. Well, Dave, my entire life that I can remember, and I mean since childhood, truth has been my highest priority in life. And doesn't mean I haven't made mistakes. Doesn't mean I haven't been wrong before. I certainly have. But I'm always endeavoring to learn the truth and to follow the truth. And once I believe that I know the truth at that time in my life, I fight for it.
Have you had, just a quick answer here, have you had consequences for being true to the Word of God?
Yes.
I'm sure you have. I have too. I've lost employment over it. Okay, let's talk about your work here, because your website name is just absolutely incredible. GodChangesEverything.com. I love that. But tell people how they can follow you and what they can expect.
Well, thank you. If they visit my website, I would invite everyone to sign up on GodChangesEverything.com. If you sign up, you will get a notification every time new material is published there, or I might have announcements. You will find a more fuller bio, a brief bio of myself and my writing. I have written for many years, and I'm an author of an internationally published book, and been writing and speaking, been deeply involved in politics. You can read the bio there, sign up for the articles, and also you will find my advice service there, which is for individuals seeking advice for their relationships, their beliefs, anything, career questions. I have a little bit of everything there and more, so I invite everyone to GodChangesEverything.com, sign up and look around, and I welcome your visit.
I'll be visiting often. Tell me how people get a copy of your book.
Oh, my book is, I think, out of publication now. That was back in 2000, and many thousands of copies sold. But I am considering putting out a second book that would be apropos to what is going on in our country now.
Okay. And on that, we are right up against the end of our show, but I want to just say this. America needs more people like you. And with your permission, I'll run excerpts of your articles on the Common Sense Show. And I want to thank you for coming on. And your message needs to be heard, and we're going to distribute this far and wide.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Christine. You've been a delight. Take care.